Hey everybody, I'm Alicia and welcome to the Medicine in Color podcast, a platform where I highlight the voices of men and women of color in all aspects of medicine and elevate their stories for the world to hear. Let's get to it. What's up, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Medicine in Color podcast. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for tuning in. If you are a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued support. For those who don't know, I am Alicia. I'm a med student and I am the creator of this platform. I have the joy of sharing the stories of some amazing women and men in medicine who are changing the game day by day. They are beasting in their lanes. They are positively impacting the lives of their patients, and they're doing it all while representing for the culture. It is truly one of the greatest joys of my life to share every guest with you all. Please know that every person is intentionally selected. So if you are listening and you have someone who you want to be featured on the podcast, please let me know. Drop an email, a DM, a comment on Instagram. Just reach out. I'm always happy to hear from you all, and I'm always open to new guests. Now, before we jump into this week's episode, I want to send a huge congrats to all of the fourth year medical students and those graduated medical students who matched into their desired specialty or into a transitional year. This process is challenging, rigorous, unrelenting, and it's also rewarding. You all have kept your eyes on the prize and your persistence has paid off. To everyone who did not match, know that your ability is not predicated on whether you are selected or not. Your time is coming. Take a moment to step back, reflect, and then move forward. And as always, this platform is intended to uplift and celebrate, and we honor each and every one of you. So y'all, as I am recording this intro, today, April 7th, 2022, is a day that will go down in history. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson has been confirmed to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, a lifetime appointment. She is the daughter of HBCU graduates and former public school teachers. She's a two-time Harvard Honors graduate from Harvard University and Harvard Law School. The first public defender to sit on the Supreme Court. She is the first Black woman to sit on the Supreme Court. And if you spent any time reading the facts about her in the last several months or weeks, you know that she has a history of delivering just and equitable rulings and is undeniably qualified. Y'all, today, my heart is happy. I am overjoyed and my soul is smiling in this moment. So Judge Jackson, we salute you, we honor you, and we are so proud of you. All right, y'all. So let's get into this week's episode. This week, I am excited to share my conversation with the woman who is holding it down for the Black female dentist. According to the American Dental Association Health Policy Institute, only 3.8% of all practicing dentists in the U.S. identify as Black. While there has been a steady increase in female representation, there is much work to be done to continue to diversify the dentist workforce. We know that diversity enhances patient experience, aids in improved outcomes, and changes communities in tangible ways. And y'all, Dr. Tosin Siddiqui is blazing that trail. So let me tell y'all about Dr. Siddiqui. Tosin Siddiqui is a general dentist in the Dallas, Texas area. She is Nigerian born and Texas raised. Dr. Siddiqui earned a BA in biology from the University of Missouri at Columbia, a Master of Public Health with a concentration in health management and policy at Drexel University, shout out to Philly, and a certificate in neuroscience at the University of Texas, Dallas. In 2018, she earned her doctorate in dental surgery at Texas A&M Baylor College of Dentistry. Dr. Siddiqui's career interests include women's health, global oral health, health information dissemination, beauty and wellness, and life and style. Outside of work, you can find her cooking and hosting friends, and exploring new sites for adventures domestically and internationally. Y'all, this conversation was so much fun. We talked about her path to now, her vision for the future, and we both share some of our unpopular opinions. I'll tell y'all that I have an unpopular opinion as it relates to Philly cheesesteaks, but you'll have to listen to that. Check out the show notes to see how you can get in contact with Dr. Sariki. All right, y'all, without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. Tosin Sariki. Enjoy. All right. So Tosin, thank you so much for saying yes. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the first question I ask everyone is, what do you do and why?
That's a loaded question, but I am a dentist. I'm a general dentist by profession. And then why kind of changes every day. But the easy and the first reason why was pretty much I did a graduate program at Drexel for public health. And we did our thesis in Gambia. And it was basically about like electronic medical records and gathering a lot of data. And my area was supposed to be the dental clinic of where I was supposed to gather data. And I spent 6 weeks in a rural hospital in Gambia and learning about dentistry and kind of assisting. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And I researched more about it. At the time, I thought I wanted to do medicine. And it kind of switched gears for me. And I was able to kind of like redirect my focus and it just fit my personality. And so ultimately, it was just the changing people's lives, kind of just taking them out of that pain immediately is kind of how it first kind of got created. And then now that I'm practicing, the why changes every day. I mean, it's from just people who just lose confidence in their smiles and they tell me I haven't smiled in 20 years or I'm too scared to go to the dentist. It's my first dental visit. And then you kind of see how you have the power to change their perspective and change their narrative. And that for me is very empowering because I already know people come in with a preconceived notion because I hear I hate the dentist literally every single day. And then my goal is just to kind of even just shift it a little bit, you know? And so for me, my why changes pretty much every day. Also, I can afford guacamole on my Chipotle burritos now.
Yes.
So it's also
yes. You know, on my guac, the extra $2.
I love that. I can say yes with confidence for my extra $2 for guac. But yeah, in a nutshell, it just, yeah, it's really just like everyone says, just changing lives, helping people. I get to be creative, which I love. I see a lot of people a day. I get to be myself in dentistry, which I think is fantastic. You can kind of curtail how you want your practice to be. And I think that that's kind of unique in healthcare.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So let's talk about, you mentioned being in a program at Drexel. Let's talk about kind of how you, your journey to now and how you got here. So let's walk me through that.
Ooh, okay. So I definitely was very much an untraditional student. So graduate or undergrad, I did University of Missouri at Columbia. That's where I got my bachelor's in biology. Obviously did 4 years there. At the time, like I said, I pre-med all 4 years of college. Then I applied to graduate school after I graduated because I didn't really know what to do next. I had taken the MCAT already and I bombed it, did not do well. I think I got the amount of points you just put your name on the test and like, it was not, you know, a very honorable score that I got. So I kind of was like, what do I do now? I wasn't in a position mentally to retake the test because you know it's a lot.
Yeah.
Because I dedicated the summer before my sophomore year to do that. So my sister at the time was at Penn for a post-bac program. And she also was kind of deciding what she wanted to do next. And so she was like, well, I'm gonna apply to this public health program. I researched it at Drexel and I was like, this is right up my alley. It's still in healthcare. It's still something that is going to feed my need. And I can kind of use that 2 years to see like, do I wanna do medicine or do I wanna go a different route? Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I applied to Drexel. I got into the graduate program for public health, which was fantastic. I did 2 years there. And that's kind of what I said before, where I was able to kind of say, yes, this is for me. And I definitely prayed a lot about it because it was either medicine or dentistry for me. And medicine wasn't something for me personally that I thought matched me as a person. So Really finding that in the graduate program was super helpful. And I really, really appreciated the, you know, that God allowed me to really see the answer at that time. So then after graduate school, I applied to dental school, and I did not get in, which was really fun. And so at the time I applied to a ton of programs. And one of the programs I applied to was Baylor College of Dentistry at the time. And they had they said no, but they said, but you can do a post-bac. So they said, you should apply to our post-bac program. Depending on if you get in, then you will get automatic admissions. If you get, you know, a certain GPA and you keep a certain, you know, whatever, whatever. So I applied, I got in, I got into the post-bac program. I did that for 2 years and I was able to matriculate straight to dental school, which was great. At the time I didn't realize that it was super important that I did that because I needed that extra 2 years. I don't think I would have been prepared for dental school and for like the amount of studying and just kind of the content, because I had been 2 years in graduate school, which was completely different. So that 2 years as a post-bac was really great for me because I kind of got back into the mind frame of like, you know, all night studying and being able to like, you know, have those sciencey conversations with my classmates and things like that. And we're all working towards a common goal. And it was really challenging, but it honestly, when I started dental school, it was just kind of like, I got to hit the ground running because it wasn't really a shock, you know, to go back into that type of atmosphere. So yeah. And then graduated dental school in 2018 and here I am.
Yeah, that's good. That's quite a story. Quite a story. When I hear you talking, going through everything, I think about the first things that come up are introspection, like understanding who you are, what is best for you. You recognize that dentistry was the direction you want to go in as opposed to medicine after taking some time to really think about it. And then you talked about the not getting into programs initially. Now that MCAT score, I will also say that my MCAT score initially was, you know, real low. That first time, that's when you had like a 2-digit numeric score. And it was low. It was not even competitive.
I was a teenager. I never reached adulthood.
So. Yeah, same. Same here. Mine was an early teen too. almost a preteen. But my question from that is, what did you learn from the nose?
What's great about nose are nose create so much character resilience, and they really allow you to introspectively figure out who you are and what you want and why. Yeah. And for me, I heard no. So dental school, I would say before I got to dental school, getting all those rejections, trying to get in, it's a humbling experience. You know, you cry, you pray, you know, you say, why me, you know, and then you figure out why, right? You say like, what, if you really want this, how am I going to let this happen? Because I had professors in college be like, hey, yo, I think maybe you should maybe be a teacher, you know? And even from there, I was able to still like do grad school and you know, whatever. But the nose for me really helped me pull out my resilience and really helped me pull out why I wanted to do this. Because I was like, I'm not gonna go through all of this and then be unhappy. Mm-hmm. So like I really was able to realize that I really do want this. And whenever I got into school and I still heard no's, like grades and you know, just regular just school stuff, I was able to say, man, they told me no back in 2011 and I'm still here. Okay. So I was able to kind of use those no's to turn them into, can I curse? Like, hell yes.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
You know, nothing more than that. But you know what I mean? Like, you kind of just have to push the power through and know that you can do it. Because I think that for people of color, especially, we hear it more often. You know, it's just kind of a rite of passage for us. And it's a good and a bad thing because we hear it and we're like, cool, cool, cool. I'm going to prove you wrong. But I think that the nose for me really did just help me introspectively figure out, do I really want to do this? And I need to have the heart, because if I don't have the heart, I'm not going to be able to finish this entire process.
Yeah. That's so good. I think about, so I applied to medical school multiple times before getting in and had to go into a graduate program in order to strengthen one, my study skill. I think coming out of that, similar to what you said, I don't know if I would have had, like, coming out of that and the age and time, you know, that it took, but I don't know that I had the skills, the study skill and the foundation to go into medical school and be successful at before. And so I am appreciative of those times where I had to, you know, pause, take a moment to think, and then also enter, you know, a rigorous graduate program. But I also think about, you know, people who have helped me get to where I am in the midst of that process. And one of the things I was thinking about today is success doesn't happen in a vacuum. And I hear you talking about your process, and I hear you talking about faith. So what are the components for you of success along this journey?
The components of success.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. So I didn't plan on saying this part of my journey, but I think it's important. So I made it through my 4 years and I was supposed to graduate. And, you know, just like you guys, you know, in medicine, we have part one, part two boards. Mm-hmm. Passed my part one, no problem. I failed my part two 3 times. And they let me walk, but technically I didn't graduate with my class until half a semester after. So I took my first part two, November 2017, and I didn't pass it until November 2018. So I spent almost a year after I graduated, trying to pass this exam. And at this time, my friends had started working. They were making money. I was at home living at home, and I was just really depressed, honestly, because I felt like I've already technically finished. This is semantics, and I can't get over this hump. And it was one of the darkest periods of my life. It was really, really hard for me to wake up and study every single day and then fail. Mm-hmm. you like take this test with that mindset of this is going to be the time, and you fail. Yeah. For me, components of success were honestly my people around me, the people around me who were uplifting me, the people, my parents. I got a lot closer in my faith at this time because I genuinely had nothing else to give. Especially by the third time I failed, I was just like, and I traveled, I went to Philly to take the exam. I was like, let me change my location. I went to Oklahoma to take the exam. I knew every library in the DFW Metroplex. You know, I knew the page numbers of the books. Like, I just felt like, what more else can I do? Mm-hmm. And it was the people around me, it was my friends, it was my family, who really were like reminding you who you are and in times that you forget, you know? So that was really important for me. Also, what I did was I figured out what I'd like to do, because I knew that when I was studying at a small window of time for fun. And so I really was like, I like to cook. So for me, it was like, I'm going to ball out and cook this awesome meal, and I'm going to have 2 glasses of wine, you know, I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to study, but like, I had to figure out kind of what I like to do. And you learn a lot about yourself in that time, but ultimately the components of success were the people around me.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. It's one, let me say thank you for sharing that, because it's not easy to talk about the areas and that you failed, so to speak. And I know that for me, there are times where I kind of mask that part of the journey because it's uncomfortable. But I think that whoever listens to this will find value in reality that there is success after a perceived failure. And all those things set you up to win. And so I appreciate you for that. Hey friends, have y'all been enjoying my conversation with Dr. Tosin Sariki? I certainly hope you have. This episode was so much fun to record. If you're enjoying this episode, be sure to like and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you stream your podcasts.
And then also shoot me an email, a DM, drop a comment on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. I'm always open to hear about what you want in a guest and also ways that we can improve. So drop me an email at medicineandcolor@gmail.com. That's at medicineandcolor@gmail.com, or send me a message on any social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, at medicineandcolor everywhere. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to the rest of my episode with Dr. Tosin Sariki. Enjoy.
We're recording this on International Women's Day. And so when you think about your role as a woman in dentistry and your role as a Black woman, person of color, what does that mean to you?
It literally means everything. It means everything to me. It's in dentistry itself is a field that there are not many people of color. Well, let me stop. There are a lot of people of color. There are a lot of people of color, but there really are not a lot of Black people in dentistry, especially Black men. Even women, the number is a little bit higher, but to go into my office and sometimes I have patients who, they'll be like new patients and they'll sit in the chair and I introduce myself and they don't see me yet. And then I sit in the chair and I kind of scoot it forward. They'll be like, oh my God. And I've heard like, I'm so proud of, they don't know me from, you know,
yeah,
Sally in the grocery store, but they'll be like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm gonna send my sister and my mom, you know, and it's just like, honestly, they don't know how much it means to me because it's just one of those things where you know how hard you work to get there. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not often where you see people who look like you as a provider. And I understand them. And I know that they understand me. And sometimes those treatment plans, you know, you kind of like, you're able to be like, okay, listen, if you were my sister, this is what I would do. You
yeah.
know? And it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more like, you see me, I see you type thing. Right. Like, I'm not trying to sell you. I really need for you to do this deep cleaning. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I need for you to do this today. And I think that helps our community because beyond the fact that, you know, you can kind of curtail your vernacular, I think it's important. I love, and I'm very passionate about dentistry. I love my job. Mm-hmm. And I wish that more African Americans valued oral health the way we kind of value everything else, because literally whatever you put inside your mouth, it's everything starts with the mouth. And so it's amazing whenever I see people who look like me and I get to educate. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely, I will spend an extra 5 minutes explaining to you why and how this can affect you, because I know how it affects our community, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you give, what kind of guidance would you give young woman, young man coming up through the ranks and who's, you know, interested in dentistry, reflecting on your own process, what guidance would you give?
Community is everything. So I would definitely say, if you're pre-med or pre-dent, I would say join the pre-dent clubs. Mm-hmm. There are so many pre-dental like summer programs. I did SMDEP when I was a sophomore in college at UCLA. And that's the summer medical dental education program. They still do it. Mm-hmm. And you can pick, you apply, you pick which college, but it was great because it's very diverse. And I still talk to some of the people who were in that network, and there are people from all over the country, but you kind of get to share a common interest in whatever, whether it was medicine and dental combined. So whatever you felt like you wanted to do. And then now that I'm older, we still have a group chat. Like, not everybody ended up, you know, doing it, like medicine or dentistry, but the people who did, we really became a tight-knit family. And then moving forward after pre-dental and getting into dental school, joining those clubs, getting to understand the community of dentistry, because it is kind of a close-knit, good old boy type of community, but we're breaking the door. Mm-hmm. And it's great because I was in SNDA in dental school. I was the social media chair there. And it was great because it's just like, you kind of get a chance to meet other people from different schools. We had conferences at Howard, we had conferences all over. And I think that that is so important, kind of creating your community, and that will really carry you through. And it doesn't even always need to be immediately beside you. It could be, you know, like joining a forum. You know, they have what is it called, Clubhouse now? They got Clubhouse. You can join a Clubhouse. You can talk to people, Black dentists or people of color in dentistry from all over the world. And I think that media, social media, and community in this field is everything. Even my friends in dental school, I'll see a patient, I'll be like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I'll be like, yo, hey, yo, do y'all know? Da, 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 da. And somebody will text me back like, yeah, I got you. You know, I think that's important for pre-dents, dental students, post-grad, all of it. I think community is everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. I will say shout out to what we call the BSU, SNMA at our school has been an absolute amazing community for me. And then friends beyond medical school have been great. So on the lines of community, I ask this question because I'm always curious about people's like friends and social networks. Who is in your group chat gassing you up?
Ooh, you asked the right wrong one. Okay, so I got a couple of chats.
All right.
But my Ace Boon Coons they're like my girls from when I moved back from graduate school to Texas, which is where I'm originally from. I kind of had to restart my friendship group because I'd been away from where I'm from since college. Mm-hmm. And luckily an old family friend that I knew from a long time, she kind of just kind of took me under her wing and introduced me to all her friends. And it's like 8 of us. And it's like the group chat never stops. Mm-hmm. And from that point to today, those are my girls. Like we celebrated International Women's day today, and just it was great. Like those are the people that, like, when I kept failing, they were like, girl, you're gonna be my dentist, you better figure it out.
Yeah.
Like those people, you know, like that, those are the people that you need. So I don't know if I can shout them out, but shout out to TLC.
Yeah,
love y'all. And then, you know, you got the different group me's. I got my Philly Johns in my group me.
Come on, Philly Johns. Yeah.
I got my Philly Johns group me. I got my dental school group me. I got my line sister group me. I got a lot of networks, and I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You mentioned line sisters. What sorority are you part of?
I am a proud member of Alpha Kappa Alpha.
I knew that was coming. I won't hold it to you. I won't hold you.
I already knew. That's okay. We can still be cool.
Absolutely. We can still be cool. Are y'all enjoying my conversation with Dr. Tosin Siddiqui? Y'all, this was so much fun to record. Before I jump into our fun questions and our hilarious unpopular opinions, I want to remind you to connect with Medicine in Color on Instagram or any other social media platform at Medicine in Color. Or if you have any inquiries or questions, or you have any recommendations for guests, drop me an email at medicineincolor@gmail.com. That's at medicineincolor@gmail.com. And you can get in touch with Dr. Siddiqui on Instagram at TOE_STED. That's at TOE_STED. And fun fact, she shares a profile with her sister, Dr. Tomi Siddiqui, who was one of the very first guests on the Medicine in Color platform. And that profile is at @a.double.dose on Instagram. That's @a.double.dose on Instagram. So I will drop that information in the show notes for you to connect with her. Thank you all so much for listening. Enjoy the end of the episode. Good deal, good deal. So let's do some fun questions.
Sure.
So tell me, what are you listening to right now?
Ooh. Okay, so I'm a huge R&B buff. So Lucky Day, going to his concert on March 29th.
Yes.
Can't wait for the album on the 10th. Lucky Day stays in my rotation. Giveon, I'm a Doja Cat fan. Tems, Wizkid, J. Cole, I love J. Cole to death. But I'll say top ones right now, Lucky Day for sure. Tems, yeah. And Wizkid for sure.
Good deal. I just went down to a NPR like tiny desk rabbit hole the other night, and I was watching like Ari Lennox, Masego. Yeah, love it. Summer Walker, all these people.
Summer Walker, absolutely.
Yeah, good deal.
Yep. Adele too. Adele, I weirdly enough really vibed with her last album. Really loved it.
Let me tell you something. Adele could sing about cats and dogs in a bathroom stall, and I was still by the album. Don't care. She can sing. and I'm there. So what is your funniest, most controversial opinion?
I have two, but I'm gonna pick one that's less because, you know, I want people to, you know, like me at the end of this. I will say that my funniest, most controversial opinion are the baby on board stickers on people's cars. I do not understand why people have them because no one's trying to hit you, whether you have a baby in your car or not. Like, I don't understand if people should drive slower around you or, so yeah, I don't want to get into it, but when I see it on someone's car, I genuinely do not understand why. Don't understand. But I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm not a parent yet. So mm-hmm. maybe there's something like inside scoop that maybe they all know that I don't. Then maybe I'll look forward to I might have one, you know, in a couple of years. Who knows?
Yeah, that is funny. Speaking of babies, would you ever drive a minivan?
No, I would not.
Fair, me either.
They're cool now though. You know, I see they're souped up. I hear they're really, it's just like a mental block for me.
Yeah.
And I grew up, we had a minivan growing up and I hated it.
Yep.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. I feel that we had two minivans and I like as in my childhood and I would not drive a minivan. Like I'll drive an SUV, but I will not buy a minivan no matter how.
My sister accidentally totaled our minivan when she was learning how to drive and it was one of the best gifts she could have ever given us. We upgraded after that minivan. So thanks to her for that.
I was going to say in terms of controversial opinions, one of mine is that Philly cheesesteaks are not that great. I think it's just meat and bread.
Ooh, you better watch out, Alicia.
All the Philly folks gonna be upset with me, but it's just meat and bread. Ooh, y'all.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I have another one. This is my second one. I'm gonna say it.
Okay.
And I'm sorry for my friends who are listening. I don't think Telfar bags are that cute.
Oh, is that, wait a minute.
The black owned Telfar bags, the ones with the T in the circle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a huge fan. But the new ones he came out with are cuter. But I'm just not. But personal preference.
I have another controversial opinion. Smackers should not be able to mix with the general population.
That's funny.
Yeah. If you smack, you should have to eat with other smackers. You should not insult the rest of us.
I can do this all day. I got one more for you if you really want to hear it.
I'm with it. Go ahead.
I'm talking to my boyfriend about this today. And I, people who put their luggage on the bed. I don't even think that's controversial. I was like, if I had an interview and I was interviewing somebody and somehow it came up and they told me they put their luggage on the bed, the interview would be over.
Yeah.
It's a no-go for me. It's a no-go.
That's good.
The airport floors is just, All right, I'm done.
Okay,
I'm done.
All right, this is my last one. Speaking of luggage on a bed, people who wear their outside clothes on a bed.
That's a good one.
Don't sit on my bed in your outside clothes.
Ooh, especially after work.
Ooh.
That's the first thing I do when I come to work. I just take a shower immediately after work.
Yep.
And I wear a hazmat suit to work, but I still take a shower after work.
Yeah. Yep. There we go.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I like that. all of my controversial opinions, but people can probably cancel me. So second to final question. When you look forward to the future, what does the future look like for you?
I'm constantly working on my future, but the future looks like me not working anymore. And not because I don't love my job, but because I don't have to work anymore. So I would love ultimately to have myself in a position where I have multiple practices and I'm just running them.
Yeah.
And if you need me, you can come get me, but like, don't call me.
Yeah.
you can be it out, you know? Yeah, the future for me, definitely kids, marriage, you know, white picket fence, all of that jazz. You know, it's International Women's Day and I want to be a boss. I want to do it all. I want to have it all. Yeah. I'm a firm believer that we can. Mm-hmm. Technology says we can. God says we can, and I will, you know, whatever I, you know, the future is big and bright. And I just feel like for women, especially, we can do what we can do it all. We can literally do it all.
Yeah, you can have whatever you want. And I feel you on that not working thing, not because, again, that I don't want to work, but because I want to create a life that encompasses everything that I want to do beyond a going to a place every day.
I want to do more international dentistry, more like clinical. I want to be able to do the dentistry that I want to do, you know? And so hopefully that'll be something that in my future I could set up for myself. So
So final question that I ask, because it's something I often think about, is when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
When it's all said and done, what do I want my legacy to be? I just want people to think of me and smile. I just want people to think of me and smile. I want people to laugh when they think of me and remember the times. I'm just such a big proponent of memories and spending time and collectively just enjoying each other. And so I just hope that whether it's my kids, my husband's, my patient, my husband's, my husband, my patients, you know, I just want my legacy to be like a warm, fuzzy feeling inside when they think of me, you know?
Yeah.
And I just know that it'll last forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tosin, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
This was so much fun. Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.